email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, 2 years ago, we spoke to Pat O'Mahony about his book, Rethinking Housing Options for Senior Citizens, Retirement Villages in Every Irish Community. A long title, but that was the title of Pat's book. And on the back of that interview, we spoke to Margarita Solon, founder of Macaulay Place in Naas, which is a brilliant example of what we should be planning for all our futures. At the end of that chat with Margarita, we said we should get yourself and Pat in together to have a chat. So 2 years on, Pat's here and so is Margarita. You're both welcome back.
Thank you, Ray.
And nothing has changed in that we are an ageing population. And I was saying that by the year 2051, 1.5 million Irish people will be over 65, and we need to plan for that, and we need to get strategies in place. But first, a reminder about you two and why you're here. So maybe we'll go to you, Margarita, first. Macaulay Place, tell us about, you dreamt up an idea in the year 2000 or thereabouts.
Well, I was a nurse. Yes. and I specialised in oncology, but I gravitated towards working with geriatrics, and it found me as opposed to me finding it, and I loved it. But I all the time that I was working in these nursing homes, I was designing what I would like for me if I got to that stage, or what I would like for the people that I was nursing. And I was acutely aware that these people had been my age once, and I would be theirs. And what I saw available to them was not what I wanted to be available for me. So in my head, I designed somewhere that wasn't a medical model, that was somewhere that was in the heart of my own community, something that was artistic and creative, had great interior design, and certainly was not a place for old people. It was intergenerational. But I never thought I'd build it or do it. And then when a neighbour got a stroke and I realised, you know, it's too late for him, but if he recovered a certain amount, where could he go to? And he had the same name, Paddy, as my husband, Paddy. And I went, we've got to do it for us. So we didn't do it for them. Had no idea how to do it. Absolutely no idea. But got a great group of people working together with me in 2000. And it took 11 years to get 53 apartments. And now Macaulay Place is 53 apartments. Convent tea rooms. I brought you scones from the
Thank
tea room
much.
Today. An arts and culture centre, a community centre, the Lishna building, and a woodland garden. And the new board is now planning 44 new apartments in Naas.
So that'll be 97.
Which is phenomenal.
In total.
Yeah. Right. Which is phenomenal.
Now, it's a non-medical model.
Yes.
People live independently.
Yes.
But there is a communal area.
Absolutely, yes. So the apartments are specifically for people over the age of 65, but all the rest of the facilities are for the entire community. So if you go into Macaulay Place, you do not know who's a resident and who isn't. And really key to the whole thing was that you'd have the expectation of the unexpected where you're living. So anything can happen, literally anything. I was in there the other day and I hadn't realised that there were actually line dancing classes going on that I would love to have joined. Pilates straight away afterwards. Yeah. A crowd of Spanish students learning English came down the stairs. There are kids going in to learn sewing. It's just, it's so yes. vibrant. There's a buzz in it. There's an art exhibition that changes every 3 or 4 weeks in the reception area, which is beautiful. It's just so amazing. Yeah. And then we have this incredible urban woodland garden as part of the development where you can walk out and hear the birds, bring a picnic out from the tea rooms. I bring my grandchildren down there with the dog and they chase the dog around the paths on it, the river beside it. It's just amazing. So all our senses, every aspect of my personality is being looked after. Not just my physical well-being, my emotional and spiritual and psychological well-being are looked after. And it's addressing this epidemic of loneliness that VTech...
Which we'll talk about. It's located in Naas. It used to be a convent.
Correct.
And the location of these places is hugely important, Pat, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. I while there are other models, but ideally I do think there's a big case to be made for building these facilities at the centre of towns and communities.
Why?
Because you're close to everything. People, only 47% of people over 75 drive at the moment, right? And people want to be able to do what they did all their lives, but that's no longer possible. Even, for example, I have friends who take maybe a pint or two, right? And they're shoving on and,
they'd like to be able to walk to the pub.
They would, yes. But they drive, which they shouldn't do.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think, well, being able to be able to walk down to the restaurant, to the pub, to the riverbank, to the church, yeah, to the bus, to the train. That's ideally what we need to do. But there is room for other kinds of facilities as well.
But I think this intergenerational aspect that you just outlined there about Macaulay Place, that's only going to happen if it's near, you know, the centre of the town.
Absolutely.
Or the village.
Absolutely.
The last time we spoke, Pat, which is important, the demand for these places grows when you go out into rural communities. And that's because a lot of people would have built houses, bungalows on farms, 2 or 3 miles outside the local. When they get a bit on, because not driving, you know, lack of mobility, whatever, it's safer and easier and more convenient for them to be closer to the shop, the pub, the church, whatever.
And 63%, a study done by UCC, found that 63% of older people living in rural Ireland would be interested in this model.
Yeah.
We know that 15% of the public generally over the age of 65 are interested across the Western world. But in actual fact, there was another bit of work done, and it was publicised in a paper by Owen Corrigan at a conference in 2019. He's from the Department of Housing, that 25% of over 55s would be interested, with one caveat: provided there were somewhere to go to. And that is really the problem, that the state has not facilitated the development of these, and they come in many forms. And it isn't a matter of the state spending money. I don't think the state needs to spend any money, but it does need to do the planning to facilitate it. I'm talking about local government planning. It does need to do the taxation piece, which again has minor implications.
Will you tell people, just remind them about what you witnessed in Australia?
Okay. Well, I was in Australia over December and January, and my daughter lives there. And down the road from my daughter is a nursing home. And by the way, nursing homes are really much better, I think, than the nursing homes we find here, for whatever reason. But up the road from the nursing home then is the retirement village, 110 homes, a streetscape exactly similar to the streetscape that these older people today would have grown up in.
So
the
60s. So this particular one is away from a town centre?
It's within walking distance.
Okay, fine.
There's a footpath.
Yes.
Every one of them has a car. By and large, they tend to have a garage or two garages. The homes are 2, 2.5, the odd 3 and the odd 1 in the 110. A fantastic community centre with another area next to it, which is for barbecues, and then a swimming pool, which is heated in winter, but it's outdoors, just knocked the cold out of it, a croquet lawn, a lawns bowl area, and so on.
Right. So how does it work then? So I'm living, like I've a family or whatever, they become adults, empty nest, over 65, and I'm rattling around, and the house. So do I sell the house and then
you
buy a house?
You sell the house
here
and you buy a house. Now, you know, there are many forms in
different models,
different models in the way you get to live in these places, right? And obviously there's social and there's private. But a lot of the people that I saw were living in private owned homes that they could sell in the marketplace. And if you went into the local real estate store or shop, you invariably could see the first home and you could see the retirement village home. So it was...
Macaulay Place, how does that work? So 75% are social...
From local authority housing, local authority eligible housing. To be, yes.
So they were in, as we used to call them, council houses.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the
25% of people of independent means.
Give up that house.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then move into Macaulay.
Correct, right. Correct, yes, okay. Yes. But if you own your own home, you don't have to sell it. You can rent it out, you can, you know, give it to your kids, do whatever else. The difference, the people from the 25% category, so social housing, or the people of independent means, pay exactly the same rent, but key money is paid by the people that own their own homes. Key money. So, which is a little bit like the lease idea that you've suggested as well, Pat. It's the same thing. Is you pay a certain percentage. It's I think it's 70,000 at the moment over 7 years. So that's 10,000 a year over 7 years. You pay it all up front. If you die after year one, 6 of the 7s go back to your estate. Or if you're there for over 7 years, then it all goes back.
Yeah. It's great to have you two together, because both of you are advocates for this. I know that you've sent a copy of your book to every councillor, every senator, every TD in the country. I wonder how many have read it. That's
I know.
And you have pushed this through, Margarita, which is amazing, against all the odds.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There must have been times where you said that maybe this is a really bad idea.
Never. That's why it got off the ground, because like we came up against so many obstacles. Because who does housing for older people in the heart of the town, and what is housing with intergenerational facilities? But I always said it would never, ever, 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 ever be just housing. It had to be housing with intergenerational facilities, but it was an outside the box project. Yeah. So I think Pat's point is, like you asked him in the last interview, like what makes it work? And I think it's a strategy. You need a cross government department strategy where the housing for older people is not just housing, it's housing and intergeneration facilities. So it's social inclusion. So it's the social department. It's the health department. It's not one or the other. And if you could get those three together, also arts and creativity, which is a huge part of it. I'm going to die anyway. You can't stop me. All of the people in all these houses are going to die anyway. So why are you putting the money into the medical side of things? Put the money into the artistic, creative, connected
side of things. Quality of life.
Totally, not quantity. Yeah.
So your Macaulay Place is featured in the
National Development Plan.
The 2014 National Development thing. You've been mentioned by the President as a national exemplar of this type of thing. Mm-hmm. So we have the template there locally. We also have international best practice from places like Australia and even closer to home, the UK. So why aren't we moving forward?
I think that's the question.
Yeah.
Several people have said to me, if Macaulay Place is such a good idea.
Yes, it is.
Why is it that nobody has done anything to spread it all over the country? Right. And I think the reason is that somehow or other, government and their strategy has a kind of a hands-off approach. So what they say is, we are committed to encouraging, facilitating, promoting the movement of older people from homes that no longer suit them to homes that suit them. The problem is there are no homes that suit them, because we've got done nothing to ensure that those exist. And we wonder why nothing happens. I think, you know, that's a general.
Okay, so let's sell it to people then.
If you can hold your thought there.
But
the point is, like the other point is, okay, we need downsize or right size homes. But also the other thing is this whole phrase, Pat and I were talking about it before we came into, about aging in place. You know, everybody wants to age in their own home. But if you're aging in your own home and your home is disconnected from everybody and you're getting an hour or two of care, in a whole week, that's an hour or two. There are 24 hours in a day. Multiply 24 by 7. What are you doing for all those other days? Use it or lose it. You're not using your brain. Yes. So the brain synapses aren't going. So you're getting forgetful. And then, oh, it's because she's older, because she's this, that or the other. You've no reason to go to get up to answer the door. You've no reason to get up. So you're actually muscle wasting and losing brain power. So I would actually argue, and I really mean this, that policy to keep us in our own homes, aging in place, could actually be incubating us for long-term care. Mm-hmm. So we need to be much more proactive than reactive. Get in before it's needed, because when it's needed, it's too late.
So we're going to sell this model, Macaulay Place model.
Okay.
And it is like, you know, we've mentioned it before, we'll mention it again, because every time we mention it, people ask, what's the book? And more people read it. Being Mortal.
Yeah.
We are behind the curve when you look at what they're doing in America. And even in their nursing homes, they have different ways of approaching things, like introducing pets and introducing plants and flexible eating times. All of those things improve outcomes. Mm-hmm. But if you can get people to live independently in an intergenerational environment, then the outcomes are, people have a quality of life that they wouldn't have if they're living on their own.
Actually, Ray, there's no doubt but that the retirement village living saves the state money, extends independent living very, very significantly. Mm-hmm. And if you add in the assistive technology, you do that even to a greater extent. So the benefits to the state are quite significant. Yeah. It also releases homes out in the community. Now, I want to make the point, that isn't why I'm promoting it. I'm not doing it so that the homes can be released to the young. But the reality is, 33% of 65-year-olds are living on their own. 60% of 80-year-olds are living on their own. So by and large, an older person moves from their own house to a retirement village context, then a house is released for family formation, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever the case may be. So there's a synergy there. But At the same time, you're enhancing the quality of life immeasurably for the older people. You are also relieving the older person's family and friends who care and worry about them of this stress that they feel and this guilt that they feel for not doing something. Because what I saw in these Australian retirement villages was that people were self-contained. There was always something, somebody around. There was always something to do. There was, as one woman said, when I roll over in bed at night, I see the slit in the door, I see the light, and I know if I press a button, there will be somebody with me within minutes, no matter what. So it cuts both ways. And also, I think if we manage the retirement village piece, we can probably bring a lot of older people back into society in terms of adding value to society.
Volunteering.
That is a colossal piece, right?
We've heard it mentioned over and over again, the epidemic of loneliness. And that's hugely important because the mental health of a large swath of people is been affected very negatively because they're lonely.
Yes. But if that loneliness, it doesn't just cause mental health issues, it causes a whole load of other issues as well. You know, your psyche and then physically how well you're doing or how well you're not doing. And if you create, like Vitek Murthy, who was the Surgeon General in the States, and he spoke about the epidemic of loneliness, and he's saying that we're better together. And these shared places create that synergy that anything can happen in. And in Macaulay Place, again, we've got all these areas that people can actually get together and connect.
You were pushing an elephant up the stairs.
Yep.
You were. So because there was no strategy, no policy in place.
Oh, there are loads of strategies and policies, yeah.
No, but you were doing everything. It seemed like you were doing it for the first time.
Against
the odds.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the key things that we held on to, Ray, was the United Nations Principles for Older Persons. And the United Nations Principles for Older Persons says that older persons should be enabled to maintain or regain the optimum level of well-being, physical, emotional, psychological and spiritual, and have access to healthcare to delay the onset of illness. Now, any funding that's given to any development for older persons should be benchmarked against that. Physical, emotional, psychological well-being.
And do you think the successive governments are stepping up to the mark on that?
I don't think so. But I also think that, like, if I have a child with autism, I'm going to have to find out for myself what's available, where do I go? And if I have an older person that needs care at home, there's not an automatic right to a system that will help me. So it's exactly the same for an older person. There's no direct pathway for all of this. We as older people, I'm 69, we as older people need to push for more developments like Pat is describing, like Macaulay Place, and there should be one in every town in Ireland. And you do know that we're building an extra 44 apartments in Macaulay Place. Yeah. Because they're not 100% social, because a certain element of them is going to be independent means, we have to raise €1 million. And that's a huge ask from an incredibly dedicated, hardworking voluntary board. They have to do that fundraising as well. Yeah. So if I can take this opportunity.
I'll give you at the end.
Okay, great.
I want to go back to Pat and just ask the question, how do we make our politicians see into the future and give them a vision
that this
is the best thing to do?
I think, first of all, I wouldn't blame the politicians. I honestly think the politicians want to do the right thing far more than we give them credit for, right? That's the first thing, of all parties and no party. But I think the permanent government is really the body of people who can get things to happen, right? And I think when they
You're talking about the civil service.
Okay. And I think when they look at housing, they tend to see bricks and mortar. And housing is much more than bricks and mortar. And it's much, much more than bricks and mortar when it comes to older people. And Margarita was referring there to loneliness. You know, loneliness increases the risk of coronary disease and stroke by one third, right? And so that has a huge cost to the state. But I think what we need to do is look ahead into where we're going with our own lives. Do you know what I mean? That one day we will all be old if we live long enough. And this is what we're facing. And if we want a good world for ourselves when we are in our 70s, our 80s and our 90s, then we, if we are in the public service in Ireland, we need to create it now, because otherwise we will suffer. Just in Australia, just in terms of studies on loneliness. At Monash University, they did some studies a few years ago in Melbourne, and they found, now this was in care homes, which is nursing homes, right, which are what this, you know, nursing homes in Australia are called care homes. But what the research found was that many participants said loneliness is worse for them than any of the health issues that they were facing. They feel devalued, they feel forgotten, they feel rejected, they feel abandoned. Many cry themselves to sleep at night. I say to you that this is not just people in nursing homes. This is people living in urban and rural Ireland in their own homes, aging in place, which is misunderstood. Yes. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily want to live in their own home forever. They want to live with their own community.
It's interesting what you said about bricks and mortar, because when you were trying to get Macaulay Place put together, they did a cost analysis on it and they said that it wasn't cost effective because it was about bricks and mortar, wasn't it?
Yes.
It wasn't about the positive effects it was going to have on the community.
Yeah, it would have been cheaper if we'd gone for a greenfield site, but then we wouldn't have been enhancing the health and well-being and integrating the preventing.
Now, Macaulay Place is an old convent.
Yes.
Are there lots of old convents around the country?
Yes.
Are they in towns and villages?
Yes. All of them.
Yes.
Or monasteries. Convents or monasteries.
So we have this infrastructure.
Here.
In place.
Here.
But we
thanks
have,
to the Catholic
we
Church.
Have laws and regulations around heritage listed buildings, right? Which means that in actual fact we allow them to rot rather than do anything
to ensure that
they are repurposed. There are, if you just looked alone at the asylums all over the country. Now, there's a marvellous bit of work done on the asylum down St. Sennans in Enniscorthy.
Right.
Marvellous. It isn't finished, but
there's another group of buildings.
Exactly. And old pubs and restaurants and shops and you name it at the centre of towns. But we, you know, there
it's odd because I'm just thinking as well about, like, say, I'm just thinking about Kildare, for example.
Yes,
there used to be three secondary schools, a convent, the academy that I went to, which was Delisle, and then the local technical school.
Yes,
now
there's
one school out the road.
Yes. Mm.
So those three areas there, those three sites.
Phenomenal. Gold dust.
Yeah.
Absolute gold dust, yeah. I'll have to say about the convent, it was a listed building and it took us from 2000 until 2009 to get the funding. And I will say the Sisters of Mercy were unbelievable waiting for us. They saw the vision, they shared the vision and they waited with us. And that's, it worked. And the challenges of the building are actually the blessings of the building now, because this beautiful old building, okay, there are 13 apartments in that, but there are 40 new built. But when you walk in the front door, it's like walking into a boutique hotel, you know, with the mahogany desk and the smell of the home baking.
That's the word
and,
I know, but the people in charge have it within their, they can change the law if they want.
Absolutely.
If they feel that to incentivize people to build these places around the country, they can change the planning laws around.
Yeah. But it's in a nursing home, it's, what is it, €1,200 per week minimum, I would say,
at
this stage. Yeah. So multiply that by 52 weeks in the year.
Now, we have to say that some people who are in nursing homes wouldn't suit Macaulay Place.
Some people need nursing homes. I'm not knocking the model, but I'm saying we have enough. We don't need any more. We need more places like Macaulay Place.
Let's see what people are saying then. Great to hear this piece. I had the pleasure of visiting my husband's late great aunt Sheila in Melbourne, Australia, some 18 years ago in a retirement village. It was wonderful. She had a 2-bed house and a community centre and a very busy social calendar. It's what our seniors deserve. So glad to hear it on the radio. That's Kerry. Been talking of this for years. Assisted living village with cafe, hairdressers, etc. for older people. Security, companionship and independence. See, there it is. It's in a very short text there, but it says it all, doesn't it? I've just started volunteering in Macaulay Place, a wonderful space for active living in the heart of the community. Needed in every community throughout the country. Can honestly say I'm getting more out of the experience than I can possibly give. A visionary founder in Margarita and a proactive board continuously developing the model. That's Lorna. And this is essential for society. I'm 74, but happily embedded in my community. However, I've been advocating for Macaulay Place for years, having seen my mother in a nursing home. Intergenerational living is essential for well-being and stimulates curiosity, creativity and optimises good mental health. We'll be writing to all political parties.
Great.
And of course, when you write to a political party, you might point out to them that by doing this, you're contributing to the solution of our housing crisis, are you not?
Yeah.
Because, as you said, you're freeing up houses where these people go from to retirement villages. And there's a lovely, there should be, I remember Dermot Bannon, the architect, saying about this circular way of living.
When you're young
and you're not married and you move into a one-bed apartment or whatever, then you have kids and you expand and then you raise your children and then you come back to, there's a circle of life, I suppose.
Ray, can I just say, I think there's one impediment to making progress in this, in the wider society. And I actually heard your competitor, whatever, Matt Cooper, talking about this and writing about it, that people have this idea that somehow or other it means that we're going to tell everyone over a certain age that you must go to this institution. And that you'll have a bus outside your door saying, come on, you reached the age, you're gone. So this has nothing to do with telling anybody what to do. It is for a minority in the sense of 15, 20% maybe. It is a choice. And the whole idea is to make it an attractive choice that people will choose, which will improve their quality of life. And it's to get that point through. I've had politicians say to me, but I don't want to live with older people. And I'm saying, that's fine. Yeah. Nobody is asking you to live with anybody.
And it's not about ghettoising. The last thing that Macaulay Place could be described as is a ghetto for old people.
Nobody would ever describe it
and
as
have
such,
people yeah. from around the country been to Macaulay Place?
We've done tours if we were paid for each tour that we did for people. But and they're very inspired by it. But again, as Pat said, you need a strategy because it's not just housing funding. You need housing with the social funding and the health funding and all the rest of it. But hopefully.
So you're a voluntary housing association.
Absolutely. And as I said to you, the new board now, they have Patricia Darling is the chairperson, but each and every member of that board, sometimes they have meetings at 7:30 in the morning.
Yes.
It's and Mark Hazard, I do not know how many hats Mark Hazard, the general manager, wears. And it's, if we got funding from, if I may, if we, first of all, for this new development of 44 apartments, we need an extra €1 million. And the amount of time that Mark and the board has to do to earn that. And it's for the community. So if somebody in the community would come in and say, look, we'll give you a leg up on that. There's another thing. If we could have an arts director in the place, we could just raise the roof with the place. Somebody coming in, coordinating all the arts and creativity, connecting again the residents with the community.
Okay, I tell people now, the 11th of August at the Manor Concert in Palmerston House in Naas.
Yes.
And all the proceeds are going to Macaulay Place. So you can find out more about that, Palmerston House. 19th of October, banquet dinner in Lawler's Hotel, Naas. Eventbrite for that. And then 13th of December, which seems a long way away, fundraising concert in Naas Parish Church with the Baldonald Singers, Naasnery Singers and tenor Paul Lennon. And that's Eventbrite as well. So you have to go out and shouldn't be the case.
It should not be. Yeah. No. Yeah. But having said that, like the Baldonald Singers are amazing. Paul Linhan is amazing. Like all these people, the Naasnery Singers, like the people that have come, the groups that have come to help us, that's actually even connecting them even more with the place.
What you said is just thinking in there. A politician said to you, I don't want to live with old people. Yeah, but come back to me.
I don't even like myself.
No, you say that. You say that now. But when you're 68 or 69 and you're rattling around your house and your house is 2 miles outside the local village and you're offered this place like Macaulay Place, maybe I said that to Pat O'Mahony back in 2024, but I've changed my mind. You know?
You don't feel like you're living with old people if it's an intergenerational space, but you've got neighbours with you all the time. Yes. Yeah.
You know, one thing I would suggest maybe the state might do, if I know because people get in touch with me who want to do this all over the country. And I think if the state put in place a one-stop shop to support communities that want to do this kind of thing in their community, that is to convert, say, old buildings. Now,
they need a strategy first. That sounds like a good idea.
But by the way, Ray, there is money available. There is, you see, the way the state operates, it has little pockets here with money for this and money for that. And I'll give you an example. There is a lot of money available if I cannot. I'm immobile and need to put in a ramp and need to do something. And the state will actually give me grants to do it, right?
I know, yeah.
But we're talking about putting it in proactively.
Yes, but you're fighting and you're going here and there when there should be a system, a system.
Yes, yes.
Because if you want to do it all over the country, and I remember doing the maths on this and there should be something like 10,000 or maybe 1,000.
100,000 homes, there's supposed to be a report A serious report a few years ago found there is demand, latent demand for 100,000 step-down homes in Ireland at the moment.
There is the Irish Council for Social Housing body. That's an umbrella organisation for social housing providers, Ray, and it's brilliant. But again, it's more a point of having the cross-department funding available for these kind of houses. So the Irish Council for Social Housing is a fantastic, really fantastic organisation to help approved housing bodies like us. But it's for the wider piece to be connected into it so that it's a one-stop shop. There was one other point that I wanted to make, Ray, and that is that if anybody lost a relative through COVID, somebody that was isolated on their own, and they wanted to leave a legacy to Macaulay Place in the name of that person, we would be so happy to do it.
Loneliness really is the biggest problem when it comes to older people. Loneliness is a sickness, and the only cure for it is connection. We need a sense of community, and home visits are vital too, says that person. Please build these homes. I want to sell my own home. Way too much for me now. I would love to live in a retirement village. I'm 70 years old and on my own breed, and that's breed's choice, and somebody else may decide they want to stay in their house, and they're welcome to do that as well. That's the, as you say, this isn't mandatory. It's not going to be a mandatory thing, but we need somebody with a vision in power.
We need one of the major parties to take it on as a major element in their platform for the next election. And I have no doubt but it would be a success. And they don't need to do any more research. There's more than enough done.
And there's international best practice. And there's an exemplar there in Macaulay Place. They're pushing an open door, I think, with public opinion as well.
Yeah.
Margarita, good to see you.
And you,
Pat,
thanks.
Good to see you.
We'll
do this again in 2 years' time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.